Nashville, July 15. I'd slept in my white suit on the living room couch. A white platter of glistening pork sausage and eggs passed by my eyes as they opened on morning. Canadian geese flew over a lake under the sausage. My little cat sat down on the quilt somebody had used to cover me up the night before. She'd brought sausage, eggs, waffles, and strawberries, a Peter Pan glass filled to the brim with bubbly milk. "Hi, sugar."
"Hi,"
with that nice look kids get when they're partially off somewhere in their minds. "Hey," I said, "you awake?"
"I cooked you pancakes and eggs, didn't I?"
"Oh, yeah," I quickly figured out the sitch. "I'm the one who's not awake." I took a tricky little bite of waffles and strawberries. I drooled. "Tastes just like waffles and strawberries." Cat punched me in the side. Misnomer, love tap. She lay in my lap and looked upside down into the new beard. Her little owl eyeglasses were being held together with a Band-Aid.
"Mom's mad," she said.
"Where's Janie Bug at?" Not too long after the question was raised, our 5-year-old appeared in the hall leading to the kitchen. She had a piece of rye toast stuck in her face.
"Right here," she managed. "It's beautiful outside," she continued after a bite.
"How do you know that, Buggers?"
"How do I know that, Daddy? I just took Mr. Jack for a walk. He went to the bathroom and Mrs. Mills' pack of junk again. By the way," she pushed away onto the couch, "the paper boy threw the Tennessean at me on Tuesday."
It goes like that at my house. More often than not, I like it very much. In fact, I'm still amazed that I have children. That's one of the reasons I wound up in Poland County, Kentucky, writing all this down. Nan came downstairs before 9, and I could tell she wasn't that mad. Not at me, anyway. She'd brushed out her long farm girl's hair, put on the smallest tick of makeup, put on an Indian blouse of hers I like very much. Nan is a tall, klutzy lady who happens to make as much sense as anybody I've bumped into yet on this planet. We were married when we were both sophomores at the University of Kentucky, and I haven't regretted it yet.
"I had a funny dream, Oakes," she said. She was sitting with Cat and Janie on the couch. "You and James Horn were riding on a raft on a river. Somewhere in the south, it looked like. I was there. I watched you both through kudzu on the shore. You were talking quietly about something. Something sad and important, it looked like. Individual words were carrying on the river, but I couldn't make out the sentences. Then both of you floated out of sight," she said. After the kids' breakfast, Nan admitted she was glad I was doing the story, though. She'd done volunteer work for Horn once, and she'd liked him quite well. Besides, that was the fact that Horn's daughter, Keisha, was a best friend of Cat's in school. The four of us spent all day Saturday at a clam bake out in Cumberland, Tennessee. Lewis Roston and his graduate school girlfriend were there, and spirits and hopes were high as Mr. Jack Daniels could bring them. Lewis and I spent part of the day under shade tree figuring out how a possible lead story might go. Even that couldn't bring us down, though. Before the sun set, Moses Reed showed up in his big, shiny country squire. For the first time since I'd come to the Citizen Reporter in 1966, I thought we were a family. On Sunday morning, I took a long, solitary walk over to Nashville Centennial Park. Once there, I tried to draft a story that could work with what I'd gotten from Ben Toy up to then. It turned out to be a hearsay story. Very exciting, but with the danger of no follow-up. The lead read, "A New York man said to be connected with a high-priced gunman claims that Mayor Jimmy Horn was not shot by Bert Poole here last Thursday." I thought the Citizen might run something like that, but I hoped we could open up with a story we wouldn't have to back off of later. Lewis Roston stopped by at the house while I was packing up to go back north that night. He seemed as restless about the story as I was. He kept referring to it as a mystery story. Roston told me that the editor-in-chief of the Nashville Tennessean had called Reed that afternoon. He'd wanted to know why we were sending reporters around to every hotel and motel in Central Tennessee. That's all we need, I said, to get scooped on this. Roston didn't want to discuss the possibility. He waved it away like a nauseous man being presented with dessert. We checked out every single hotel, every motel, he said. We've shown his photograph everywhere a man can sleep in a 25-mile radius. Yeah, and? Goose egg.